right, so the O-Dog is sending me some text messages, and it's kind of difficult to get a read on where he actually stands on this whole ROM bet and paying it off, so I'll try to get some more clarity. I think he's still going to pay it off. I think he's a man of dignity and a, you know, he's an admirable guy, class act.
Hey, sorry, Jamie. I just wanted to get one little fact in here, Hayes. I know what you're trying to pull here, and I admire it. It's a great attempt, but there is division in the bookmaking community about whether or not this bet should be paid. It is not as clear as, yes, we're paying it. There are some books that are paying it. There are others that are saying, hey, by the way, we don't pay when guys don't win, which Rom did not do.
That's fair.
Well, that's valid, but I think if a book has any integrity whatsoever, which is the kind of book I want to be associated with, they pay off the wrong bet. That's what matters to me. Here is Bob Herrig of ESPN, golf writer and analyst. How you doing, Bob?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
We're doing well. It was quite the scene on Saturday. I mean, we've been following the sports world in COVID for a long, long time, and we mentioned earlier that outside of the, you know, championships won in front of empty stadiums, those images will last the test of time. Those will stick with us forever. I would say Justin Turner at the World Series being pulled in the game in the eighth inning and then going back out there to celebrate, that will stick. And then what happened Saturday at the Memorial is that is COVID and the sports world clashing like no other. What was the scene like? How emotional and how confusing was it on Saturday afternoon?
Yeah, that has to be right up there with anything in sports over the last year in terms of the outcome. You know, some of those things that you mentioned, I mean, certainly no spectators at a lot of these events, I think, had some impact, but you couldn't quite put a finger on how much. This was huge. I mean, the guy has a 6-shot lead. He's leading the tournament, and he gets pulled. It was very shocking. Nobody saw that coming. They don't announce to us that a player is in as they call it, contact tracing protocol. And maybe they should have, you know, because, and there's other examples of this. Like if anybody's been in close contact with someone, they're not allowed in the clubhouse, they're not allowed in player dining or the locker room, and they have to test every day. So nobody ever told us that. So when they're going out there and you're wondering what's going on, it didn't occur to me that he might be testing positive for COVID because he would have tested earlier in the week. They only test him once. So obviously we learned all the details afterward and that, you know, it's still 2 days later, quite shocking.
Hey, Bob, I mean, up here in Canada, we were sort of under the impression that in a lot of U.S. states, COVID essentially does not exist. You know, people are carrying on as though the world is the same as it ever was. I mean, what's the reaction, you know, among players to the idea that this guy lost out on $1.6 million plus, you know, probably close to being world number one again around protocols, you know, on a virus that seems to sort of escape the mind of a lot of Americans?
Yeah, there certainly are a lot of states where COVID didn't exist when COVID was very, very much a thing. I would say very facetiously, unfortunately, but we are at a point now where there seems to be this sense that, you know, we're close to the end. You know, the numbers in the U.S. have gone way down in terms of daily infections. Even in some of the states that were being the most restrictive have been lifting those restrictions here lately. And so, you know, at the Memorial, there was nobody wearing masks outside. There was a lot of people there. The most I've seen at any golf tournament yet. Maybe the PGA Championship had close, but I think this one was more. They had said 75% of their capacity, and they get big crowds there. You saw some mask wearing indoors, which would have been people who aren't vaccinated, but it's not mandatory. So we're at this point now where we're thinking that, you know, we're getting closer to the end. I think that made it even more shocking. This would not have been as big of a shock 3 or 4 months ago. Frankly, I think they're fortunate that it never did happen to that level. This was the big fear. What happens if somebody's leading a tournament and comes up positive? That was discussed as they were coming back last year. As it turns out, this was only the fourth time a player tested positive when he was already within the start of the competition. Of course, none of the other three were leading the tournament at the time. So that's what makes this look worse. And as far as, you know, the players, I think the players' attitude, I heard a lot of this. Some guys said, you know, this is the risk you take for not being vaccinated. And they don't mean the risk of getting COVID. They mean you're not having to test out here anymore on tour if you've been fully vaccinated. And, you know, in the U.S., that's not that hard to do right now. And even for some of these younger guys where obviously it came online later, you know, there's pretty much been availability for all age groups starting kind of in April. You know, so here we are in early June. Clearly there's scheduling issues. People maybe didn't want to take it because they were afraid of a reaction or, you know, a sore arm, or maybe, you know, it might impact their preparation if they got sick for a day. But for the most part, it's been available. And, you know, so that plays into this. Had he been fully vaccinated, he would not have had to go through those protocols, and this would have never happened.
Bob, what do you make of the Brooks and Bryson feud? We've talked about it a lot on the show, and is there any manufacturing there, or do you believe that this is like a serious feud? And because it's almost like they're looking for the bonus to move the needle a little bit with the analytics.
Yeah, I mean, I think some of the latest stuff, certainly what Brooks did with the video the other day, was manufactured. I think leading up to that, it's all been, you know, I think there's some animosity there, certainly. And, you know, given Brooks's reaction in the moment on that video that got leaked, you know, I don't think he's making that up. But some of the back and forth now here lately is maybe pushed it a little beyond the point where it needs to be. And, you know, I guess it was inevitable that there were going to be spectators that were going to give DeChambeau a hard time. That's unfortunate. You know, that's just how golf is sometimes. And, you know, some people got booted out of the tournament on Friday, and, you know, because I think they might have crossed the line. Either they were doing it while he was in his backswing, or maybe they were just, you know, just over the top with it. I mean, there's a difference between having a good time and cheering and then that kind of taunting, which, you know, isn't really tolerated in golf. It's not a team sport. So I don't know where this goes. I mean, I guess, you know, Brooks is playing in South Carolina this week. He's going to have a news conference there, I'm sure. Leading into the tournament, I'm sure this will come up. We'll see if he tries to downplay it or if he kind of keeps pushing it. And then I think it, you know, it comes up the next time they play in the same group, which, you know, is bound to happen at some point.
Well, let's hope it's at the U.S. Open in 2 weeks. I mean, that would be outstanding theater, and particularly on a Sunday afternoon. He is Bob Herrig of ESPN, golf writer and analyst, was down there at the Memorial. Really appreciate the insight and the time, Bob. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you for this.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
Take care. Bob Herrig of ESPN. Again, quite the scene Saturday night, Jon Rahm. And I hadn't even thought about it from that angle. Forget, like, not contracting COVID. Once you've taken two vaccines plus 2 weeks, you don't have to test anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, it doesn't mean you can't still get it in some capacity, but you just don't test, so see you later.
If he was asymptomatic, wouldn't matter. Like,
which he was.
That's what you said, Dave, at the start of the show. Yeah. You said, like, this would have been a non-issue if he got his second shot because he blows through testing.
He'd never know, right?
He'd never know. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
and all these leagues, the PGA Tour and Major League Baseball and the NBA, they've all been trying to incentivize guys to go get vaccinated, right? And that's a hell of an incentive. Like, we won't have to test you anymore, and you won't be withdrawing from tournaments while you hold a six-shot lead.
It's crazy. Yeah, tough
one. I would think it probably drags some guys into the old vaccine clinic pretty quickly, don't you? I mean, there's probably a number of guys who are like, I'm not doing this anymore. Like,
exactly.
Which is, you know, there's obviously something, I guess, ethical about that, or, you know, if guys have certain views or if it's religious in nature, whatever it is, I don't know. People make up their own minds. But I do think a lot of people are looking at this like, okay, how am I going to get back to normal? How am I going to avoid issues like this? And if this is what is going to spark that, it wasn't coerced, you know, via the PGA Tour. It was Jon Rahm's own experience where you're like, wow, And sometimes that can be the most powerful message, right? Like, no one wants to hear from their parents, but if it's their friend, you know, it's like, oh, that's a different story. Maybe I should look into this a little bit closer.
I mean, that story in itself, 1.6 million, and he's already got one shot. So he's already gone through the process.
Exactly.
Like, why not get the second one?
Exactly.
I can understand. Like, I mean, if he makes a choice because he doesn't want to get vaccinated, that's on him. But, like, he's already got one. Get the second one.
Right.
Like,
it
doesn't.
Do it three months ago.
It's crazy.
Wow.
Like,
crazy.
Especially
up here, guys, like where people are dying to get their second one up here. And in the States, you could go into any pharmacy right now, I believe, and just grab it. You know, it's that simple.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, there's a ton of Canadians that are up here that were down in the States for months, and they're fully vaccinated. They've been home, and they're living a completely different lifestyle. Well, I guess, you know, we're still waiting to open more, and it sounds like we're going to do that province-wide as of Friday.
That's good.
But, that's a positive step. But, anyway, thanks again to Bob Herrig, and we'll touch on that more this afternoon, what happened. And Cantlay, you know, credit to him. He battled yesterday. He and Morikawa didn't really have a great round. They were just kind of plugging along.
No.
And then Cantlay hit some big putts, and Morikawa just couldn't. And Morikawa, again in a playoff, misses like a five-footer to push it to another hole, and he just couldn't do it. I mean, he's been so close to winning multiple times, and he has won multiple times on tour. Such a good player. They're both great young players. And going to be big names on tour for the next decade. And it took Rahm testing positive to step out of the way to have a bunch of drama yesterday at the Memorial. And now they're down in South Carolina. The tour is this week. And then they're off the Torrey Pines down in San Diego for the U.S. Open in about a week and a half. So we look forward to that.